Good morning. I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. It's obvious that your priorities are straight, that you have spiritual things on your mind. And because of that, I want to thank you sincerely, because this summer you've been a good example to me. Being that this is my last sermon, there's bad news, and that's that we have to go back to listening to Donnie twice a week. I'm sorry, guys. I have to go back to school. But all joking aside, I want to thank you guys so very much. I've had the opportunity this summer to learn a lot, to really get my priorities back on track. I want to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity, and especially Donnie. He's taking the time out every week to meet with me, and he's given me so much advice and help, encouragement, and it's really meant a lot. So I want to thank everyone here. You've all said really nice things to me, even if maybe I didn't deserve it. And so I thank you so very much for everything that you've done for me. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've heard people say, "Hey, brother so-and-so." Or, "Hey, have you heard about sister so-and-so?" And have you ever thought, why do we call each other that? Brother and sister. Is it a superficial title? Is it just something that we say because it sounds good? Or does it have meaning? Is there meaning behind those titles? And so this morning, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be in the brotherhood? What is the difference between Skylar Hornaday and brother Skylar Hornaday? Or sister Katie Thorpe, or just Katie Thorpe? What does it mean to be in the brotherhood? This morning we're going to consider two things, and the lesson will be yours. What does it mean to be in the brotherhood? Point number one, to be in the brotherhood means you get support. To be in the brotherhood means you have support. Whenever you became baptized and you put on Christ, you joined a group of people. And you get support from these people in a number of ways. The first way is that you get support from people who have the same goals that you do. When you decide to put on Christ and you join the brotherhood of Christ, you join a group of people who want to do what is right, just like you want to do what is right. You join a group of people who want to get to heaven, just like you want to get to heaven. Please turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want us to read a description of heaven. And let's actually start in verse 21 and read through the end of the chapter. John says, "The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." We all want to get to heaven. We all want to be in that place. Because doesn't that just sound amazing? Heaven. Everything that this earth is not. And when you join the brotherhood of Christ, you said, "I want to get to heaven." And you join a group of people who want to get to heaven. These people have laid their treasure up in heaven, as we read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Just like you had decided to lay your treasure up in heaven instead of on this earth below. And so we see that we get support from people who have the same goals as us, who had the same end goal in mind. Furthermore, we get support from people who want to help us and not hinder us. People who want to help you and not hinder you. Let's list some things that describe these people, that describe the people around you, that describe your brothers and sisters in Christ, lest we forget. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we see that the people that are around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're compassionate. You get support from people who are compassionate. That means that they feel your pain. Your brothers and sisters in Christ know what you're going through on a daily basis. They suffer the same kinds of temptations. They suffer the lust of the flesh. They suffer the lust of the eyes. They suffer the pride of life. They suffer the same things as you do. Yet they choose a different path. Your brothers and sisters in Christ have chosen the narrow path. And so they have the ability to be compassionate with your cause. Are you starting to see why your brothers and sisters are so important? But not only are they compassionate, your brothers and sisters in Christ are people who will greet you. And I know that's kind of a weird point to make, that your brothers and sisters in Christ will greet you. But what does greeting involve? Greeting involves an acknowledgement. When I greet somebody, when I greet you, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge your existence. And if your brothers and sisters in Christ are doing their job, they're going to greet you and acknowledge you. And that's very important. Have you ever been ignored by somebody? It makes you feel worthless. When your brothers and sisters in Christ greet you, they're acknowledging you and they're acknowledging everything that you're going through. Greetings are it's the first step of a conversation. And we all know that Christians need to be communicating. And so one of the biggest supports that we get from our brothers and sisters in Christ is that they greet us and they conversate with us. But not only are they compassionate, and not only do they greet us, but they comfort us. You get support from your brothers and sisters in Christ by being comforted by them. Part of being in the brotherhood is having the advantage of being comforted. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's read verses 16 through 18 together. Let's see how we are to comfort one another. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And here it is. Here's the phrase. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How do we comfort one another? When we're down, when bad things have happened to us, and we don't see hope. And that happens to us. We were so stressed out that we can hardly think. What's the advantage of being in the brotherhood, of being a brother and sister in Christ? Well, your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to comfort you. And one of the main ways they're going to comfort you is by reminding you of what's important. Reminding you of that time when Jesus is going to be, he's going to come back. And we're going to be caught up in the air with him. That's the role that your brothers and sisters in Christ play in your lives. They comfort you with these words. They comfort you by reminding you of what's truly important and helping you get through your tough times, helping you get through your hardships. And so we see that we get support from people who are helping us and not hindering us. Furthermore, we get support from people who will exhort us. People who will exhort you. Exhort basically just means strongly encourage. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to strongly encourage you to do what is right. When they see you struggling, they're going to be there. They're going to be there to say, hey, this is what you need to be doing, and is there anything I can do to help? Can you see the advantage of being in the brotherhood? Can you see why being Brother Mitchell, Sister Jeanette, is so important? Because without that, we don't have people to exhort us, to say, hey, let me help you here. Let me encourage you. We need people like this in the kingdom. Furthermore, we see that we need support from people who will edify one another. And edify just means to improve spiritually or morally. When we come together, one advantage of being in the brotherhood is that we edify one another, that we help each other improve. And we need that more than ever. If you're not in the brotherhood of Christ, you can't get any of these things. And then lastly, we get support from people who love one another. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we see the phrase, love as brothers. Love as brothers. And that's exactly how we're supposed to love each other. And that's one of the biggest advantages of being in the brotherhood. That's why we need to be in the brotherhood, is so that we can have that love with each other. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, we see the phrase, love the brotherhood. So we get support from people who love us. And what does love entitle? All these things we've already talked about. To exhort and edify. We need love. In order to get the love that we need to be in the brotherhood. And if we're in the brotherhood, we need to be reminded of all these things. We need to be reminded that we need to allow these things to happen. One of the biggest complaints we hear is that people don't care about me. And we feel alone. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we just don't allow it. Sometimes we aren't asking for help. We don't let others in. It's our responsibility to let other people know when we need help. Don't blame other people when you're all alone if you're not letting them in the first place. Thirdly, we get support from people who have become family. And this is the final point for this point. We get support from people who have become our family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that God is our Father. Have you ever thought about that, how the Bible uses family terms to describe us in our relationship with God and with each other? God is our Father. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, we read that we are His adopted children. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, we are joint heirs with Christ. We're a family. We have the same Father. And so because we have the same Father, we have things in common. And we need to act like it. Are there ever times when it feels like we just come here and then we leave, and that's it? We're all adoptive children of God. We have the same Father. We have things in common. And because of that, we need to be acting as a family. It's not just enough to come to church, sit on the pew, go to Bible class, attend worship services, and leave. That's not what a family does. A family is involved with each other. And one of the biggest ways that we get support in the brotherhood is from this relationship, this family relationship. Can you see the importance of being in the brotherhood, of being in a family? Because that's what you joined when you became a brother and sister in Christ. When you put on Christ in baptism, you joined a family. And perhaps we need to be reminded of that. And so we have a few questions before we get off this point. So far we've been asking the question, what does it mean to be in the brotherhood? And we've listened to some things. And so I ask you some questions. Question number one, do you understand that you have supportive people around you? Do you understand that when you joined the body of Christ, up until this point, and forever on, however long we're on this earth, do you understand that you have supportive people around you? Do you understand that you have people that understand your struggles? If we don't, it's going to feel awfully lonely. Do you understand that you have people around you that have the same goals as you? Do you understand that there are people around you who are willing and want to comfort you in your time of need? And do you understand that there are people in this very room right now that want to push you and want to challenge you to be the best Christian that you can? And the point of all this is that we need to utilize these things. We need to utilize our brethren and let them into our lives. That's the whole point of brotherhood. That's the whole point of being a family. Will you let them in? Question number two. Do you understand that when you became a brother and sister in Christ, you became a member of a family, like we've already established? Do you treat your brethren like family? Answer this question honestly. Do you treat them like family, or do you treat them as forced acquaintances? People who you just happen to be going to the same congregation. That's about all you have in common. If you say yes, if you say you do treat your brethren like family, what proof can you give? If you were a lawyer, what evidence could you give that you treat your brethren like family? If you can't think of anything, if you can't think of one thing that you've done for your brethren outside of just coming to church, then there's a problem. You've forgotten what it means to be in the brotherhood. You've forgotten what it means to be a brother in Christ. You've forgotten what it means to be a sister in Christ. And so if we see that we don't really understand what it means to be a brother and sister in Christ, and we see that we haven't been treating our brethren like family, then obviously there's some room for improvement. If we can't think of one thing we've done for our brethren, then we need to improve. And we need to start thinking about what it means to be in the brotherhood again. Taking pride in the name brother or sister and doing these things. And so far we've been asking the question, what does it mean to be in the brotherhood? And point number one was that we get support. We get support. We have to allow people to support us. Point number two. This is relatively simple. This isn't complicated. What does it mean to be in the brotherhood? We've seen that we get support. Part of being in the brotherhood is allowing others to support you. And the other half is giving support. It's that simple. You see, whenever you joined the brotherhood of Christ, you became obligated to help your brothers and sisters. That's not just a one-way road. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul told us to bear one another's burdens. When's the last time you bore someone else's burdens? Think about that. Part of giving support is not hindering other people's growth. And that's common sense. In Matthew chapter 18, we see the consequences of having a bad influence. That's the opposite of supporting. We see that we don't need to hinder others' growth by our actions. Our actions can hinder other people's growth. It can hurt them. Our words can hinder other people's growth. Brethren, if we're not careful about the way we act and about the words we say, then how are we giving support to our brethren? How are we helping them on their way to get to heaven? It's our responsibility, and it's our obligation to help them in any way we can. And part of helping them is making sure that we don't hinder them. So let's make sure that we're bearing one another's burdens and not giving them extra weight. A part of giving support is this other idea that we've already really been establishing, of putting others before yourself. This is a hard concept for us, because as Christians, we want to get to heaven. And at times it feels like that's all we can handle, is focusing on ourselves. We have so many problems. Sometimes our faith is lacking so much that I think, how in the world can I be worried about somebody else? I've got all this stuff in my mind. I've got all these problems. It feels like I sin every day. How can I be worried about other people? How can I put others before myself when I can't even take care of myself spiritually? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we put others before ourselves. How do we do that? Well, we watch for opportunities to help other people. And then we take those opportunities as they're given. I don't know if you ever heard people say this. Sometimes they say, I would help. No one ever asked me. I didn't know we needed help. That's no excuse. We have to be watching. Part of putting other people before ourselves is watching and looking outwardly. And if we're looking outwardly, brethren, we're going to see people in need. Everyone in here needs help some way. And if you're looking for it, you're going to find it. When's the last time you gave help to somebody? When's the last time you took the opportunity to help someone? Because not only do we need to be watching, sometimes we see other people in need. And then we say, someone else will take care of it. Someone else better than me. Someone else wiser than me. Someone else more capable than me will take care of it. That's no excuse. That's just a selfish act. We need to be watching for opportunities, and we need to take those opportunities that we're given. Furthermore, part of giving support is the idea of submitting to one another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, we see the phrase, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is exactly what we've been talking about. What this means is that we put other people's needs above our own. And it means that we value other people's interests above our own. And I put on there the example of Jesus in John chapter 13. It's the famous example of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Who here has more on their mind than Jesus did? I'm going to say nobody. I'm just going to make that assumption. Nobody had more on their mind than Jesus. Think about all that Jesus went through and all he had to do. Yet he found time to serve other people. God came down, became flesh, and served other people. He submitted himself in this way to his disciples. What does that tell us? Well, we need to be doing the exact same thing. Part of being in the brotherhood, when you became baptized into Christ, you agreed to serve your brethren, just as Jesus served the disciples and washed their feet. Are we doing that? Or are we looking out for number one and just trying to get ourselves to heaven? And hey, you guys live your own lives. I hope you guys are doing what's right. I want you to be in heaven. No, no, no. I want you to be there. But I got to look out for me right now. You do you, and I'll do me. There's no room for that attitude in the brotherhood, in the kingdom of God. So again, we have some questions, and the lesson will be yours. Answer these questions honestly so that we can grow together. Question number one, do you understand that it's your responsibility as a brother or sister in Christ to support your brethren? That's the big question. And here are some questions that are going to help you answer that big question. Do you show compassion to your brethren? You should be able to. As we've already established, we go through the exact same things in one way or another. Do you show compassion? Do you comfort those who you know are experiencing hardships? Whenever we hear of someone who's had someone else close to them die, do you go up and comfort them and talk to them? Or do you just stay away, saying, hey, I don't know if I can handle that right now. It's our responsibility to comfort our brethren. That's the obligation you made when you joined the body of Christ. Do you edify and do you encourage your brethren? Are you helping your brethren improve? And are you encouraging them to be better people, to be better Christians? Brethren, we rely on each other to help us improve. That's one of the perks of coming into the assembly. That's why whenever we don't assemble together, whenever we forsake the assembly, that's why our faith weakens. Because one of the perks of being here is that we edify, that we teach, and that we encourage each other. And that's what being in the brotherhood is all about. Do you edify and do you encourage your brethren? And then the last question, do you love your brethren? All that we've said, it all comes down to love. Do you love your brethren? And answer this honestly. Don't just say yes because it's the right thing. If you answer no to these questions above, then answer honestly that you don't love your brethren so that you can start loving your brethren. Answer it honestly. Don't fool yourself. Your actions are what speak louder than your words. Let your actions speak and answer these questions. If you love your brethren, you're going to act in these ways that we've already listed. So maybe your answer is no, that you don't love your brethren. Start loving them now. The way that you start loving your brethren is by acting. You don't just, there isn't a force up here that just makes you start loving your brethren and then you act. That's not how it works. You act, and then you start to feel love for your brethren. That's how it works. So I ask, do you love them? Do you love the people around you? Answer it honestly. Question number two. Do you bear other people's burdens? Or are you too focused on serving yourself and on carrying your own load? Again, as Christians, we have the tendency to be focused inward. And at times, that's what we need to do so that we're not hypocrites. But part of being a Christian is also looking outwardly. Looking out for other people's interests, looking out for them whenever they need help, and helping them bear their burden. If you're not bearing your burden, then you're supposed to be in the brotherhood, but you're not acting like it. Part of being in the brotherhood, part of being a brother and a sister in Christ, is helping your brethren bear their burdens. And you know what's going to happen? Once you start helping other people bear their burdens, they're going to start helping you bear yours. And then it becomes easier. There's that word synergy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. That basically says that if I help you and you help me, we can actually lift more than twice what we could alone. And that's the concept here. That whenever we help each other, whenever we bear each other's burdens, we can carry far more than we ever could alone. And that's the beauty of the brotherhood of Christ. Remember, bear each other's burdens and look for the opportunities to bear each other's burdens. Question three, as I just said, are we looking for the opportunities to serve? Or are we willingly ignorant? Do we allow ourselves to not know when other people need help? Sometimes it's easier just to kind of close our ears, kind of walk through church, just kind of go about our business and leave. That's not acceptable. We need to be looking for opportunities. And then when we find those opportunities, we need to take those opportunities. And then the last question before we close, do you put others before yourself? That's what it all comes back to, really. Do you put other people before you? And if Christ did, if God put himself before his disciples, was willing to humble himself, like we saw in John chapter 13, then shouldn't we do the same? We have no excuse. Part of being in the brotherhood is giving support. The part of being in the brotherhood is putting other people before yourself. Are we doing that? Answer that question honestly. Don't lie to yourself. Answer that question true right now so that you can convict yourself, so that you can change. The lesson is yours this morning. We've been asking the question, what does it mean to be in the brotherhood? We saw 2 points. What does it mean to be in the brotherhood of Christ? It means that you get support and you give support. That's what it is. We're here to help each other get to heaven. That's our main goal in life. And because of that, we should be just the best of friends. There should be no one in here that we don't talk to. There should be no one in here that we don't know their name. Because we have a common faith and a common hope. And that should excite us. We need to be that family that we talked about. And if we do those things, we're going to become a tighter group. And we're going to be able to help each other get to heaven. What we need to remember is that being part of the brotherhood means you have to obey God, first and foremost. So I ask the question, do you believe in God? Do you believe in what this says? If you do, then you need to be baptized into Christ's blood. Not only do you need to believe, but you have to repent. You have to repent of your wrongdoing, of your sin. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to give up your old life and join the brotherhood? Are you willing to confess Christ with your mouth that he's the Son of God? If you're willing to do that, then you need to be baptized into the brotherhood. There's no reason, brethren, to wait. You'll get nothing from waiting. There is no benefit from waiting. If you understand those questions and you answered yes to them, then make a change. Perhaps you've already joined the brotherhood, but you've left and you've returned to the world. You forgot the benefits of the brotherhood. You forgot those obligations that you made. Make that change right now. If it's of a public nature, come forward. Make public correction and be welcomed back into the brotherhood, back as a brother or as a sister. And you get to gain all those things we talked about. And you'll be with us as we all try our hardest to get to heaven. Try our hardest to help each other get to heaven. Don't wait. Make repentance now. If there's any way that we can help any of you, please come now as we stand and as we sing.